few years ago, I went on a holiday. Well, actually, it was 10 years ago now, actually. I went on a holiday to China to do some backpacking. And we decided when we were there that we wanted to go and see some more of the rural parts of China. So we did a little bit of research, and we got on this train to kind of a town, and then we jumped on this incredibly rickety bus, which was going to take us on this very long journey kind of into the mountains. Now, this bus, just to paint the picture, it was awful. Firstly, it was just absolutely kind of ram-packed. Secondly, the only seats were right at the back of the bus, and I get really, really travel sick, so it was never going to be a good start for me. And then to make it worse, I was sat on the back row and I was wedged between Mr. kind of chain smoker on my left, who was allowed to smoke on this bus, and this Buddhist monk on my right. And he looked like he was about 105, and he literally just kept falling asleep on my shoulder, which was just the most awkward thing. And so we're driving along, and slowly we're getting higher and higher into these mountains, okay? And it was beautiful. But as we're getting higher, the snow and the sleet begins to fall. And it quickly becomes apparent that this bus just is not coping with these conditions, okay? So on the left, I've got a vertical drop down the side of this mountain. And I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous. And as the snow falls and it gets more and more icy, the wheels on the bus keep spinning, basically, on the ice as they're losing traction on the road. And I'm feeling really uncomfortable, okay? And as we kind of go around this really, like, steep kind of curve in the road, the bus wheels just completely lose traction on the road and the wheels start spinning. But this time, the bus starts sliding backwards down the mountain. And I have to be honest, I was pretty terrified at this moment. After what seemed like a lifetime, but what probably wasn't, the driver managed to kind of pull the bus into like a kind of snowdrift and like just stop the bus in this snowdrift. And I breathed a sigh of relief. But after a few minutes, very quickly, I realized that actually I was now stuck on the top of a mountain in the middle of the snow. I had nothing with us. I didn't speak the language, and we were in rural China now, so nobody spoke any English. It's literally freezing. I didn't even have a coat with us because I was very underprepared at 19. We had no food, no water, no shelter, and I was pretty scared, to be honest. I was pretty like anxious about this situation. And I literally felt like I was in the middle of this kind of icy wilderness, not having a clue what to do. And it was really unnerving. And you know what? There's many, many, many times in the Bible that God talks about people, that talks about God's people or individuals going or being sent into the wilderness or finding themselves in the middle of the wilderness for some reason. And this morning, I want to talk about just that. I want to talk about what you may have heard being referred to as a wilderness season. And let me just start by giving you a few examples of people in the Bible who find themselves in one of these. So let's start with David, okay? So David is one of the great kings in the Bible. The greatest kings in the Bible. So when he was younger, a man called Samuel goes to David, and he prophesies over David that he is going to be the next king of Israel. Then what happens to David? He spends the next years living in caves, tending his sheep, and wandering in the wilderness, is what we're told. And even after God starts to move things forward for David, he keeps finding himself back in the wilderness. And it's only after these wilderness seasons that David finally becomes king. Paul, let's take Paul as another example. So Paul was a man who was walking along the road to Damascus one day, and he has this encounter of God. And after this encounter of God, his whole life is turned around. He goes from being someone who's persecuting Christians to being one of the influential men in the history, most influential men in the history of God's church after this encounter with God. Yet where does he find himself after he first encounters God on the road to Damascus? In Galatians, it tells us he goes to Arabia, to the desert, into the wilderness. Moses. So Moses is born an Israelite. He ends up being adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. And he grows up as a prince in the temple of Pharaoh. But one day, Moses sees an injustice against a fellow Israelite. So he steps in and he intervenes. And in doing so, he kills an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's men. So he flees. And where does he find himself? In the desert, tending the sheep in the wilderness. Until one day, God appears to him in the form of a burning bush and sends Moses out to lead God's people out of Egypt. The people of Israel, so they are miraculously delivered from slavery in Egypt through the parting of the Red Sea with Moses as the leader. And where do they find themselves? In the desert, in the wilderness, awaiting the promised land. Jesus. So Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit, signifying the start of his earthly ministry on earth. And where does he first go? Where does God send him? He's sent by the Father into the wilderness to be tempted in every way. Now, most of us, you know, we won't find ourselves in a physical wilderness, but many of us, at some point in our life, we will find ourselves going through a really tough time. You know, a time where we kind of have to endure hardship, or we have to endure discomfort, or endure trials of some sort. A time when we might feel like we are quite weak, that there's temptations all around us. You know, maybe we find ourselves in real financial or spiritual or emotional or physical hardship. And the burdens of these things just press down on us hard. It's a wilderness season. It's a season when things are tough, that things aren't going our way. And do you know what? Sometimes in these tough seasons, we can feel really close to God in them. I've been through seasons kind of in family kind of sickness when I've actually felt incredibly close to God through them and incredibly peaceful through those times. But not always. Sometimes in those difficult seasons, I haven't felt like that at all. And I've actually felt quite distant from God. I felt like I've kind of reached out to God and kind of pleaded with him to act or to speak to me. But he hasn't kind of done that in the way that I've wanted him to in that moment. And it can raise questions, can't it? You know, God, where are you in this situation? Why aren't you speaking, God? Like, have I messed up in some way? God, you know, why aren't you fulfilling the promises that you've given me for my life? And sometimes wilderness seasons, they can feel lonely. And it can feel like God is a million miles away. And I just want to introduce you this morning to a man in the Old Testament called Job, because Job totally, 100% gets this, okay? So Job, he is this wealthy landowner who was blameless in the eyes of God. But Job has a series of just terrible things happen to him through no fault of his own. So he loses his family. He loses all of his wealth and possessions. And he gets really sick. And he tries to speak to God and confront God on this. But he just can't seem to find God. And he says this in Job 23. He says, look, I go forward, but he is not there. God is not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right side, I cannot see him. He's saying, where is God in this? Have you ever felt like Job? You know, maybe you haven't lost everything like he has, but you've been through a tough season when things haven't gone the way that you wanted them to go. Or you've had a tough decision to make, and you're like, God, you know, where are you in this? Well, I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, I've come to kind of believe and see that God has great purpose in those wilderness seasons that we go through in life. You know, there's mystery in those wilderness seasons for sure. You know, we don't fully understand why things do and don't happen. And I'm not negating for one second the kind of pain and hardship that we can go through in those seasons. But what I am saying is that if the wilderness is where God allows some of the greatest characters in the Bible to be, if the wilderness is where Jesus is sent and then chooses to return to on his own accord, on numerous occasions, despite the physical, emotional, spiritual hardship that he faces there, could it be that God has great purpose through those wilderness seasons? And I believe the answer is yes to that. So what is that purpose? I want to suggest three things this morning, which is really kind of the tip of the iceberg, but that I think we can glean from the Bible about what God uses these difficult, challenging wilderness seasons in our life for. And the first one that I want to suggest is this, to test us. It says in Deuteronomy, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You know, God, he doesn't want us to be spiritual babies forever. He wants us to grow in our spiritual walk with God and in our obedience to him. He wants us to have a right view of God and a right view of ourselves. So he wants us to have a right view of God that understands that God is our sustainer and our provider. That in him we find all that we need, that we find rest in him. That he is always faithful to us. And he wants us to have a right view of ourselves before him. That actually we are lost sheep without God. And that we are totally dependent on the grace, on the mercy of God at work in our lives. Without God, you know, we are just sinful, lost human beings. And the people of Israel, they find themselves in this wilderness. You know, God has miraculously delivered them from slavery in Egypt, using Moses to lead them by parting the Red Sea, and then he places them in the wilderness. And what God requires of the Israelites in that wilderness, 2 seconds, is that they would honor him, that they would obey him as their Lord and deliverer. So he tests them. Test the heart. But again and again, what do Israel do? They fail the test. They disobey God. They choose to do it their way, not God's way. They give in to temptations. They bow down to idols. And as a result of their repeated disobedience, their wilderness experience goes on for 40 years. More than a whole generation misses out on stepping into that promised land because in their wilderness season, they failed the test to love and obey God before everything else. You know, it wasn't sin that brought them into that wilderness. There's no evidence of that. But God chose to put them there in order to test their hearts. But sin, their poor choices, that brought God's judgment. And it kept them there for longer. Because God wanted to humble them in order to grow their faith and help them see their need for God. God will use wilderness seasons to test us so that what is in our hearts is revealed, to see if we respond well to challenge and trial, to see if we respond with humility and obedience to God. And when we do, when we obey God, when we worship him, even through the difficult times, that grows our faith. So number one, to test us. Secondly, to transform us. David, who we've mentioned earlier, he's a character in the Bible who spends a lot of time in the wilderness, okay? So David, he holds this promise over him that one day he's going to be king of Israel. But the current king, King Saul, he's really jealous and threatened by David. And Saul's kind of anger and jealousy towards David, again, drives David into the wilderness for fear of his life. And David takes with him into the wilderness a small group of men, okay? Now this group of men, they have nothing particularly impressive about them, okay? It says in 1 Samuel 22, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them. That's David's army, okay? Distressed, discontented, bitter, indebted men. But under God's leadership, God takes both David and these men and he transforms them into mighty warriors who are able to conquer because they learn to put their faith and trust in God's plan. They learn to choose obedience to God regardless of fear and regardless of the unfavorable wilderness season they find themselves in. You know, what could have been a time of great kind of frustration for David, you know, waiting on the fulfillment of the promise of God that he would be king. yet just kind of stuck in the middle of this wilderness with a group of discontented and distressed men and not seeing that happen yet. Instead, God uses David's time in that wilderness to see kind of spiritual growth and fruit produced in the lives of him and in the men of the men around him. In that wilderness season, God is readying a small army of faithful warriors for David, who together will go and overcome Saul's great army. And as you inevitably kind of at some point in your life walk through a difficult or a tough season, let me tell you that God is using those times to shape you. God's not causing the pain or the suffering. That's a whole different preach, and I'm not going to go into that today. But he is transforming you into a kingdom warrior through those challenging seasons. He's making you into someone who knows how to walk through the good and the bad times, trusting in the faithfulness of God in every season of life. You know, the character fruit that is produced in those seasons is enormous. And when you look back at those difficult seasons, you realize that had you not walked through them, that you'd never have been able to accomplish the things that God has planned for your life. When we triumph through the wilderness seasons, when we hold on to God and obey God, and even when he feels like he's a million miles away, you know, we develop a spiritual muscle that sets us up for life. Because God transforms us through those seasons. And thirdly, to reveal God's glory. So in 2 Corinthians it says, we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The reason for these trials, Paul says in verse 7, is this: to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. If we walk through our wilderness seasons, trusting God through them, we get to see the power of God at work. Now, we get to experience God's provision like the Israelites did when manna and food fell down from heaven each day to provide for their needs and sustain them through that wilderness. We get to see God transforming us, the Holy Spirit, you know, flowing through us so that his glory through us can be made known to the whole world. We get to have victory in our places and in our times of wilderness when we lean on God through them. And that brings him glory. So how should we respond? How should we respond when we are in a time of wilderness? Because the Israelites, they didn't do this very well, did they? They got impatient. They gave in to temptation. They kind of failed to trust and obey God. So how can we do better? Well, the first thing I want to suggest is this. We need to just recognize where we are at, okay? Let's be real. You know, we can know how to respond well. We can recognize that this season we are in, it's not a place where we're being shelved by God. It's a place where God works with power and authority. It's not a place of defeat for those who obey God, but it's a place of victory and very often stepping into the promises of God. And we can own that as children of God. But we've got to stop. We've got to be honest with ourselves and one another. And just recognize where we're at. You know, we're in a tough season. Things feel dry, maybe. Things are challenging. It might feel lonely. God feels distant from me, maybe. I'm in a wilderness season, but it's okay. Because God has purpose here. And I will have victory here. Job, who I quoted at the start, who like felt totally lost in this wilderness season and felt like he couldn't find God. Do you know what he says straight after that vigil court? He says this, Job in Job 23, verse 10. But he knows, God knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. We too can have that confidence that Job has. God, this is tough. God, you know, I feel a bit lost right now. You know, God, you feel a bit distant right now, but I recognize that I'm in a wilderness season and I know that you are still in control, God, and that you will use this season for your purposes, God. And therefore, I will come out of this refined like gold. So recognize where you're at. Secondly, seek the heart of God, okay? When things are tough, when things aren't going to plan, by all means, know that you have a Father in heaven and on earth who has all power in heaven and in earth. And seek miracles from him, seek signs from him, by all means. But more importantly than any of that, seek first the heart of God. You know, the Israelites, they saw miracles, they saw signs and wonders, they saw God part an ocean, for goodness sake, but they didn't seek the heart of God for themselves. And as a consequence, they missed that God's heart was to be in loving, covenant relationship with them. And actually, it was out of that their obedience to him was to come. And they prolonged their time in the wilderness as a result. You know, miracles, signs from God, they are such an amazing blessing from God. But God wants us to be seekers of his heart before we seek anything else. And where do we kind of learn most about the heart of God? In reading his word. You know, the word of God, it shows us the truth of who God is. It shows us the promises that God has for those who are in relationship with him. It teaches us about the very character and the nature of God. Guys, we've got to grasp onto this stuff, because this is the stuff that is going to keep us on steady ground as we walk through wilderness seasons. That will be our immovable foundation. That will ensure that we do pass any tests in the wilderness season and that we don't prolong our times there. You know, the reality is that you will feel all sorts of emotions when you're in a wilderness season. Loneliness, maybe regret, discouragement, frustration, anger, heartache, any of those emotions. But you know what? How we feel and the truth of God's word are two very different things. So I might feel frustrated, okay? I might feel like God isn't there with me, okay? But if I seek God's heart through grasping tight to his word, which reveals his heart, I will know that he says he will never leave nor forsake me. I might feel lonely. I might feel like God's just given up on me. But if I seek his heart by holding fast to his word and the truth of what it says in his word, you know, I'll know that it says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He doesn't give up on his children. I might feel discouraged. I might feel like, actually, God's promises just feel empty in those wilderness seasons. But if I seek his heart revealed through his word, then I know that it says in 2 Corinthians that all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. I might feel like I'm not moving forward, that actually there's no spiritual growth in me. But if I seek God's heart, that I know the truth of his word in Philippians, which says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If we submit our lives to him, we are being transformed to be like Christ. The wilderness, it's a place to seek the heart of God first and foremost. And where we most learn of the heart of God, yes, through prayer, yes, through, fasting, but when we most learn about the heart of God is in his word. Because when we seek the heart of God, we find a firm foundation. We know his promises. We know the character and the truth of who God is. And this enables us to make choices that honor and obey our King through any wilderness season that we find ourselves in. And finally, persevere in the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. You know, there's times in our life that we talked about where things are good, where things are fruitful, and there are wilderness seasons. There's times in our lives when people around us want to hear us speak God's word, and there's times in our lives when they will reject it. But we are clearly, clearly instructed that we must preach the word of God and speak of Jesus regardless of what season we are in or regardless of what season those around us are in. When Jesus was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment of all? What did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So when we are in a wilderness season, we still do just that. Recognize where we are. We seek the heart of God first and foremost. It's the greatest commandment, is to love him first, to obey and to honor him before all else. And then we continue to love our neighbor, regardless of what season we're in. And that means persevering in the gospel. It means speaking the truth of Jesus. We know that as Christians, ultimately, we have victory, don't we? Regardless of our circumstance, because we are, you know, we're sons and we're daughters of God. And therefore, we have a promise of an eternal inheritance in him. But what about our neighbor? What about you sitting here today? Do you know God as your savior and as your friend? Because, you know, we're all sinners. We all stand before perfect and a holy God who loves us as flawed and as imperfect human beings. And the penalty that we must pay for our sin is death, the Bible says. We can't save ourselves from that. Only Jesus can. And Jesus came and he died to pay that death penalty for us, for our sin. And then he came back to life. And he now sits as Lord over all. And we can now come to Jesus and we can repent and we can turn away from our sin and we can trust him and know that we are saved from eternal death because he has taken that punishment from us. And now we have the promise of an eternal life in heaven when we die with Jesus sitting on the throne. Praise God for that. And for those of us who make that decision, who have made that decision, to come before Jesus, say sorry for our sin, accept him as our Lord, we can know that no matter what comes our way, no matter what wilderness season that we might find ourselves walking through, that we have a God in heaven who loves us and will walk with us through the good times and through the challenging times. That we have a God who has much purpose in those wilderness seasons, who will transform us through them, who will change us to be more like him through them, and who will work in supernatural ways to carry us through those wildernesses so that we can have victory and will have victory through any season we find ourselves in. Because we have an incredible God, don't we?